We live, we love, we serve.
Called to live, commanded to love, and commissioned to serve. And if you can't say all that, what do we say? We live, we love, we serve. Amen, amen. Won't you open your Bibles or your Bible apps with me and turn to the book of Exodus. Turn to the book of Exodus. There we go. Chapter 3. Exodus 3. And go down to verse 10. We're going to be reading verses 10 through 14. So Exodus 3, verses 10 through 14. Give you a little bit of time to scroll or flip. If anybody got their handheld Bible, there we go. Good handheld Bible. It's always good to have a real Bible sometimes. Amen, amen. Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, read as such. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. By the word of God for the people of God. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we are here once again, grateful to be in this space, grateful to be in this place, God. Grateful for each and everything that you have given us in the course of our lives, God. Grateful for every blessing, God. Grateful for every door that you opened that should have said closed, God. Grateful for every moment you presented to us that surprised us and blessed us at the same time, God. Grateful that you are still working on our behalf each and every moment, whether we ask for it or not, you are always working for us, God. Doing things that we ask for, God, and giving us what we don't even ask for, but what we need, God. So once again, we are grateful, God. We ask that you show up right now, God. Let your words flow from my mouth, God, as somebody once again is here today because they need to hear a word from you, God. They need to know that you still have their eye on them, God. They need to know that you still care about them, God. They need to know that you're still watching them, God, even in the midst of their downfalls, God, even in their stressful season, God, even in their dark moments, God. They need to know that you're still there with them and there for them and that you will never leave them nor forsake them, God. So once again, show up, God, in this moment. Have your way in this moment, God. Do what you got to do to make sure each person knows that you are still here, God, and that you are still God all by yourself. And once again, we will get out of the way and give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. It's in your name we pray. And we say amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Just want to highlight two verses again really fast, 11 and 12. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And he said, I will be with you. And this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you to Egypt. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Today, for the time that we have, I simply want to talk about trusting the call. Trusting the call. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I got to get out of here now. I got to get out of here. Family, how many of us, if we're being honest, hate being told what to do? Can you raise? I don't feel like everybody's being honest in here. I said, how many of us hate being told what to do? We don't like nobody bossing us around. We don't want nobody telling us what to do, how to do it, or when or where to do it. We don't like being told what to do. And there's different moments of being told what to do that annoy me a little bit more than others. One is being told to do something that I was going to do anyway. Because now that you told me to do it, I don't want to do it anymore. And now you're going to have to deal with a little sass from me because I was going to do it. But now here you come running your mouth trying to tell me what to do, how to do it. And I was going to do it anyway. But I'm going to still do it. The next one that annoys me, and this was big in my household growing up, my parents ain't here, so I could talk about them a little bit. But I hated when I was relaxing, had just got something to eat, brought my plate to my room, sat down, got nice and comfortable, and then here comes somebody calling my name. Trey, take out the garbage. Trey, wash the dishes. Trey this, Trey that. Oh my God, I couldn't stand it. I think it was worse after I went to college and then came back for a break. And in college, ain't nobody was telling me what to do or where to do it. I was doing it on my own terms, and I thought I was a little grown, but coming home will humble you sometimes, won't it? Because you think you're grown and you think you get comfortable in your house. And once again, you hear, Trey, take out the garbage. Well, I ain't took out the garbage in about 5 months. I don't feel like taking out no garbage. Wouldn't you, under your parents' rule, you gotta take out the garbage. We hate being told what to do, especially when we've just gotten comfortable, don't we? We don't like doing things that bring us out of our comfort zone, but sometimes we have no choice, especially when you're younger and you're living under your parents' roof. But it's one thing when the call comes from the familiar, but it's a little different when God is doing the calling. Sometimes when we get that call from God, we may even be hesitant because we don't really believe God is calling us to do something major. We don't really believe God is calling us to do something big that we don't naturally see ourselves doing. But if it's God calling, we have to trust and believe that God is calling us, because if God thinks we can do it, then we ought to have faith and trust in God that we can. God thinks we can do it. Sometimes we don't have faith in ourselves because we don't see ourselves doing such grand things. And we think we have to step into other people's shoes and wear other people's masks to do certain things. But God isn't calling us to do that. God isn't calling us to step into anybody's shoes, because God is calling you for you and nobody else. So when God calls, we have to trust in God's decision and trust and put our life in God's hands. Because if God is calling, God knows that we can do whatever God is calling us to do. When God calls you, you got to believe and trust that God is calling you to something that is for you. Trusting in God and God's decision on your life and God's call on your life is something that in this day and age and in this climate is extremely difficult to do, no matter what part of the journey you are on. It is hard because there is so much going on that it's even hard to decipher what God is saying to you. It's so much going on that it's even hard to know if God is speaking to you because of all the chaos that surrounds us. And once again, it's especially hard in these chaotic times that we're living in today. The chaos that is surrounding us makes it hard to hear God. It makes it hard to think that God would want to speak to little old you. It makes it hard to want to be willing to listen to what God has to say, because who wants to strain to hear anything? And when there's so much going on, it makes us doubt that God is even speaking to us. We live in a world that makes it easy to doubt yourself. Self-doubt is on the rise for many reasons. One of the reasons, I believe, is that we put too much value on things that don't really matter. Things that won't really do us any good in the long run, like that like on a picture or video that you're holding significant value on your life for. We think how other people perceive us in our lives is important. A lot of the time, how we look at ourselves and our self-evaluation is not based on how we see ourselves or how God sees us, but it's based on how others view us. And this ain't good, family, because we know how jealous and hateful and nasty and how petty people can be. We call them haters. Anybody got any haters in the room? Anybody got anybody who just knows that when you post a picture, they might know you cute, but they ain't gonna like it. They know you look good, but they ain't gonna compliment you. They are jealous of how you walk, how you talk, and what you got, but they are jealous simply because they don't have what you have. So they'll start their process of starting to try to bring you down to a level where they are comfortable with you. So if you're basing your self-evaluation on how others see you, I implore you to switch it up and look at yourself in the mirror and see all the greatness that God has bestowed upon you. I know it's hard and I know it's difficult to lift your own self up, but sometimes it's your only choice. The world isn't going to play fair, and because the world doesn't play fair, you can quickly doubt yourself because you aren't living up to the world's standards. And when you think you're not good enough for the world's standards, you start to think you're not good enough for God. But I'm so glad that God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, because when God looks at us, God is not looking at us through the lens of the world or through the lens of other people, where people seem to be afraid of individuality. God is looking at you and reaching out to you and calling you because of who you are and who God knows you can be. So the next time you get down on yourself because people didn't compliment you like you wanted, or your picture didn't get as many likes, somebody didn't compliment your dress or notice your new earrings, or somebody didn't tell you your shape up was crispy, don't worry about that. Just look at yourself and say, I was made in God's workshop exactly how I am for a reason, and that is good enough for me. If God loves me and sees me, that's all the validation that I need. You got to realize that the only validation that you need does not come from your friends. It does not come from your family. It does not come from comments or likes on Instagram. But the greatest validation you can get is from being acknowledged by God. If God can look at you and call you to something great, there is nothing else that you should be concerned about. Because when God calls you, God is calling you for something greater and bigger than yourself. When God calls you, you should have faith and trust in that call, faith and trust enough to know that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard what God is preparing for you. But it's hard. It's hard to have faith, once again, because of the chaos around you. But it's also hard to have faith in God's call because of how society treats us. Sometimes society will act as if they like you and support you when you're following God's call, but sometimes they only like you when they can keep you somewhere where they are comfortable with you. It's hard to think that God would want to call you when the world seems to have a love-hate relationship with your very being. It's hard to think that God wants you when the whole world seems like it can be against you, when the world wants to throw away your individuality and wants you to conform to something that they are comfortable with. When the world wants you to walk a certain way, speak a certain way, prefer you to have a certain skin tone in order to be put on the forefront of anything, it's hard to think that God would want to call you for anything, because how can God want me when the world rejects me? How can God call me when I have all those around me who ignore me because of who I am, who ignore me because I am genuinely myself? But once again, it's so good to know that God doesn't let what other people think and what other people say about you affect God's decisions concerning your life. If God wants you, there's nothing that anybody can do and nobody that can stop him from calling and using you. You see, you've got to be able to block out what's going on in society in order to hear God's call. You have to be able to work your way through all the fake people in your life who seek to bring you down, navigate your way through all the hate you receive from people you thought were your friends, all the negativities of the world that seek to distract you, and be able to not only hear God's voice, but be willing to listen and accept what God has in store for you. It's going to be tough and it's going to be frustrating at times, but you have to have the faith to know that if God called you, that means God looked at you and saw something that nobody else could see. And you have to be willing to trust that God sees something in you that your mama didn't see, that your daddy didn't see, that your friends didn't see. You have to think that and trust that thought and move forward. But once again, these are hard things. It's not always easy. People will doubt you. People will tell you that you can't do it. You might even tell yourself that it's not possible for you to do it. But you have to trust that God is trusting you for the task that God is placing before you. Trust that God wouldn't call you if God didn't think you could handle what God is putting on you. And trust that God wouldn't put on you more than you could bear. The story says Moses is headed to Egypt, walking slowly in shock and confusion about what has transpired. I'm sure as he's walking, he's trying to decipher all the images in his mind about his previous encounter and whether it was real or not. His life has suddenly taken a turn that he did not expect, a turn that he could not predict, and a turn that he really did not want. In his mind, life was previously going great. He had found a home. He had gotten married. He was working and things were going well for him and he was enjoying things and he was comfortable. But now that comfort that he was lavishing in has suddenly been snatched from him. And now it seems that life is heading towards uncomfort, chaos, and madness. All of this had to be madness. The whole conversation he had to be madness. The whole task that was bestowed upon him had to be madness. Going back to a place where he was a criminal, madness. Freeing thousands of people with simply his words, madness. But yet he keeps walking forward because he knows deep down inside that he has to do this. It's not what he wants to do, and it will be hard, and it will be challenging, and it will test him like he's never been tested before, but he still must keep moving forward because it's what God told him to do. He doesn't want to go, but nevertheless, he has to move forward because God looked at him and called him and chose him. Moses was in his comfortable. You get two bless yous, and then that's it. Moses was in his comfortable place. He had just escaped possible persecution in Egypt. He's married, he's a shepherd, and things are going good for him. Moses here is focused on a life he thinks is good for him, so focused that he's been ignoring the plight of his people. And we know he's ignoring it because he was raised in the midst of it. But at this point in life, it does not matter to him because he's living his best life. But sometimes in this moment, we can be too focused on ourselves. And when that happens, God has to do something to catch our attention so that a good shift can happen with our focus so that we can really start to look at what's important. When we are focused on what we want, it's not good. When we are focused on what we think we need, that's not necessarily good. Focused on what we think is best, that's not necessarily good. And focused on what we want in life, we are living so selfishly that we don't see anything wrong with it because our selfishness has become normalized to us. So God has to drastically shift our focus because we are so focused on our wants and our needs that we cannot take any time to stop, divert from the path we think we need to be on, and look around at what God is trying to show us in this season. But sometimes it's necessary for God to pop up and help shift our focus, or else we just keep going on the path we want to be on, not thinking about how we missed where God wanted us to be, missed the things that God wanted us to see, and missed the people that God wanted us to encounter. And sometimes God has to call us and get us back on track. But the question becomes, when God calls, will you be willing to go and listen? As Moses is tending to his daily needs, one day, the burning bush appears along the path he is on. And the story says he looked and said to himself, "I must turn aside and behold this great sight." And when the Lord saw that he turned, he then called out to him. You see, there are three types of people that I've seen in my life when something out of the ordinary pops off. There are those when something out of the ordinary pops off whose interest is poked, and they move forward towards whatever is happening with serious interest. They want to see what's happening. They want to know what's going on. They want to be in the know. A tad bit nosy, if you want to say. Then there are those who see something out of the normal and run the other way, getting as far away as possible because they don't want anything to do with what's going on. And then there are those who just mind their business and keep going on with their lives, acting like nothing happened because to them, it's not their worry because it's not their business. Which one are you? A lot of us like to be the last one, just mind our business because that's the safest thing to do sometimes. It ain't got nothing to do with me, so let's keep it pushing. But that wasn't Moses, unfortunately. He wasn't either of the last two. He didn't run away and he didn't mind his business. He had to just go and see what was going on and why this bush was burning and not burning up. But even more unexpectedly, why a voice is suddenly coming from the bush. Because I know if I go to a bush and I suddenly hear a voice, I'm not walking any further towards that bush. But clearly Moses is not of that same mind. So he does not run away. He goes forward. But you see, this whole interaction with the bush was initiated because Moses was willing to divert his attention from what he was doing and see what God wanted him to see and listen to what God had to say. How many of us can be honest and recognize that we've missed things God wanted us to see because we were either not willing to come out of our own comfort or too focused on where we were going that we didn't pay God any mind? How many of us have missed out on blessings because we were too focused on what we thought was best for us? How many of us have missed out on opportunities to show off our faith that we claim to have in God, but ignoring the things that God wants us to see because we're so focused on what we want? If you want to show your faith and trust in God, you have to be willing to first listen and give up the path that you're on, the path that you're so focused on, the path that you think is best, and the path that you just know you're supposed to be on. It's not easy, but this is something that is necessary when you're trying to follow what God has for you. You got to be able to step off your path and follow where God wants you to go. When God calls out to you, you must be willing to shift your focus and shift your mindset and shift your life and stop for a second and shout back, God, here I am. Moses, Moses, here I am. And Moses now sees what he's in for. God has presented Moses with seemingly impossible tasks of confronting Pharaoh and demanding that he free all of the Hebrew people. And now a wave of shock and confusion has come upon him, maybe one shock after another. Having a conversation with a bush is a shock itself. But I'm sure, once again, it seems like madness to him, and it seems often that when we are having a conversation with God, it can seem like madness, right? But a quick bit of advice. You got to know that the conversation with God will seem like madness at times because that conversation won't be like any other conversation you have. A lot of those conversations will feel one way. You'll feel like you're talking to yourself, but that should not deter you from speaking to God nonetheless. I know it gets hard, and sometimes prayer can be frustrating when you're not getting the answers that you want, but that's the issue right there. Prayer is frustrating because you are expecting the answer that you want. You're expecting the answer that you think is best. You're not expecting God to tell you something different. We say, God, if it's in your will, let it be done. And when it's in God's will, we're like, whoa, 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 that's not what we thought was going to happen. How many of us got examples of asking God for questions and asking God for answers, and God gives us answers we didn't want, so we like to ignore the answer that we got and go with what we thought was best anyway? Doesn't that often get us into trouble? God, if you don't want me to call her back, don't let her name pop up on. Oh, look at that right there. Oh, you know what? That's a sign, God. Thank you right there. That's not God. That's not God. That's something else, but we'll go there. But when you're praying and hoping to get what you want, you'll be missing what God has for you because God's answers are going to be what's for you, not necessarily what you want, but what's good for you and what you need. God is going to be giving what you need instead of what you want. And sometimes we have to be willing and accept that what we need is not always what we think we need. It is not always going to look like what we want it to look like. But because God is giving it to us, it's what we need to focus on and what we need to accept in that moment. Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. This task is madness. Madness because this task is so difficult. And because it's difficult, I'm sure that doubt started to overcome Moses. Doubt in himself, doubt because the task seemed like it was too much for little old Moses, too much for one man, too much for anybody other than God. He had to think he was not fit for this because, once again, who was he? It's funny that when faced with difficult challenges, how quickly we can doubt ourselves, especially when it's something that we aren't sure of. More quick to say, no, I can't, rather than say, yes, I can try at the least. But sometimes our doubt in ourselves is stronger than our belief in God's ability. We have our doubts because we are afraid of failure. Maybe they are past failures. They're still popping up. Maybe it's future failures that we're worried about. But we have to learn not to sit in our doubt or sit in our failure, but instead move forward, because without failure, there can really be no success. When you sit in your failure, you start to nitpick at yourself. Why did I do this? Why did I do that? How can I think that I could move forward? How could I think that this was possible? I shouldn't have tried that. I'm so stupid for thinking that. Your doubts will always be present because you're always bringing them up because of failures or possibility of failures. But in hindsight, a lot of your failures were necessary for your growth. They were necessary for you to move forward and become who you are today. You have to know and believe that God looked down on you and saw you and spoke to you and chose you despite your doubts, despite your thoughts of failure. God chose you. So have confidence in yourself. You have walked this earth each and every day of your life because God chose you. And if God chose you, there's no reason to have any doubts. There's no reason to have any fears that there is something that you cannot do because God chose you. So face the task with confidence because you know you can do it because God chose you. If God chose you, that should give you enough confidence to move forward, to now ignore any doubt, to ignore any fear that you have, and just move forward knowing that because God chose me, I know I could do this. But Moses isn't there yet, and he's trying to give God reasons and excuses to why he can't. So God is forced to show him his power. He tells Moses to throw down his staff and turns it into a snake. He turns Moses' hands leprous and back. But even after all of those miracles that God shows him, when asked, Moses is still consumed by doubt. It's insane to me sometimes that we can actually see miracles that God has done in our lives, but yet move forward with doubt. Mama didn't have money, but food was still on the table. Daddy lost his job, but those lights were still on. Your friends were doing wrong, but somehow you made it out of that situation. You didn't have enough money for college, but yet you still walked across that stage with your degree. You were underqualified for that job, but somehow you still got it. You probably don't deserve to be living how you're living with the mistakes that you've made in your past, but yet God still made a way for you. God made a way out of no way for you, and now you're able to wake up every morning, put food on your table, put clothes on your back, and you were able to march in here today, so you should be able to give God a little praise because God continues to show up and show out in your life when you need it. God continues to show up and show out in your life when you don't expect it to. And God continues to show you that God is God all by God's self. And if God has shown you before, there's no reason for you to doubt as you move forward what God is going to do in your life and what is possible because God is with you. You see, sometimes we doubt ourselves because we are looking at and evaluating ourselves from our own eyes and the eyes of others, only focusing on ourselves and nothing else. But sometimes you need somebody who has been watching from a different angle to come and talk to you and explain some things to you. It's always nice to have someone come by and give you a pep talk, someone who has been watching from afar, someone who can see a bigger picture that you cannot see. One day, I was on a flight, and it was a nighttime flight. And it was just terrible weather. And I looked out of my window and it just was completely black. It was completely black and we're bumping and there's turbulence everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, how does he know where we're going? I can't see anything. How can this pilot know what direction to go? How can this pilot even land this plane? Because I cannot see anything out of this window. So I asked the pilot, as I was leaving, after we landed safely, of course. And the pilot told me, well, from your seat, you can't really see what I see. I see the bigger picture. From my seat, I can see where we're going. From my seat, I can see where we're landing. From my seat, I know that we're going to land safely. And that really told me that angles matter. The pilot was sitting in a seat that I wasn't, and because he was in this seat, he could see from a different angle that I couldn't. He could see things that I couldn't because he was in his seat, and he was able to navigate things for me while I was on the plane. And while I doubted because I couldn't see, the pilot never had any doubt about arriving to our destination. And sometimes, family, you got to know that you need God to tell you it's going to be all right because I'm looking for your situation at a different angle. Sometimes you need God to tell you don't doubt because I see things that you don't see. Sometimes you need to hear from God to just go because I got the things that you cannot handle. And you need to go because you know God is always watching and is always with you. Sometimes you need God to tell you that you can do it because I've been watching you. And despite your flaws, despite your mistakes, despite your situations, I still see things about yourself that you don't. And I believe in you. Sometimes you need to hear from God that I still have faith in you despite your tendency. Sometimes you need to hear from God that I still believe in you despite your own self-doubt. Sometimes you have to hear from God that I still have faith in you and I know you better than you do. And I wouldn't have chosen you for this task if I didn't think you could do it. Most importantly, you must realize that on whatever path God sends you, you will never be alone. Because just as he told Moses, God will be with you. So have faith in yourself because God is with you. Know that you're not alone because God is with you. When you get scared, remember that God is with you. When you start to doubt yourself, remember that God is with you. When your family looks at you funny, remember God is with you. When your friends start to turn their backs on you, remember that God is with you. You have to have faith to know that God is with you. And when you have that faith, you can do the impossible. When you have that faith, you can move mountains. When you have that faith, there is nothing nobody can do. Nobody can stand in your way and nobody can stand against you because God is with you. And when you have that faith and when you do come up on impossible things, they will not be impossible for long. If it seems like it's too big for you to handle, still walk confidently towards it because you know you won't be handling it by yourself. You got to know that God is with you. When you think you're alone, know that God is with you. When you don't feel that confidence, shift your mindset and regain that confidence because you know as you're walking, you're not walking alone. Each and every step you take is mirrored by God. So when society tells you you're a nuisance, wave them off because you know God is with you. God is with you each and every step of the way. So there's no reason to doubt, no reason to fear. Keep moving forward because God is with you. God is with you. So as Moses walks slowly to Egypt, still in shock about what has just happened, I'm sure that shock didn't last long because it was replaced with something else. And that was confidence. And as he started to think about all the things God told him, I'm sure he started strutting a little bit instead of walking because he knew that God was with him and that there was nothing that was going to stop him from doing what God told him he'd do. He was moving forward towards the impossible task, but he knew that he was going to be able to do something that he thought he couldn't do. He knew that he was going to be able to overcome his own personal doubts, overcome his own fear. He was going to be able to look Pharaoh in the eye and tell him that God told me to tell you to let my people go. And he was able to do all of that because he knew God was with him and he trusted God's call. And sometimes that's all you need to do when you feel overwhelmed by God's call. When you feel overwhelmed and feel like the task is too big for you, you need to just remember where you are now and how you got to where you are at this moment. Remember how you used to be and where you are now. Remember how many times God was present in the midst of every struggle in your life, how God made ways out of no ways, how God provided for you when you thought your life was over, how God showed up when you were lacking, how God did everything possible to make sure you succeeded. Yes, you were scared, but guess what? God was present. Yes, you didn't think you could do it, but guess what? God was present. Yes, everybody doubted you each and every step of the way, but God was present. Yes, you wanted to give up, but God was present. It didn't let you. Yes, you almost lost your mind, but God was present. God was present. Then God is present now, and God will continue to be present as you move forward. So don't worry what anybody says, what anybody thinks. Push away your own doubts. Push back your fears. Push back your worries, because when God is calling you, you need to step up and listen and trust that God is calling you to something greater, something better, and something that God knows that you can handle. I know it's hard, and I know it's tough, especially in tough seasons of your life, but the challenges don't always come when everything's going right. The challenges of life don't always go and come when you want them to, when you're at your best. You're going to be challenged in the midst of your doubt. You're going to be challenged in the midst of your fear. You're going to be challenged when you're at your lowest. But guess what? At all those moments, you won't be challenged alone. God will be with you, and God will be calling you to something greater. God will be calling you to handle some things you didn't think you could handle. God will be calling you to do something amazing. But it's up to you to be willing to listen and answer the call. Don't let the things and distractions of life keep you away from what God has for you. Don't let the chaos of the world keep you blind to what God is trying to show you. Be willing to listen in the midst of the chaos. Be willing to listen through all of the noise. Be willing to listen when God is calling to you. Because at the end of the day, if God is calling you to something, God knows you can handle it. God's not going to put anything on you that you can't handle. God's not going to put anything on you that you can't bear. God's going to push you where you need to be pushed. God's going to support you. If you're lacking, when you slip, God's going to pick you up. If you stumble, God's going to be there to catch you. And if you fall, God can surely give you the strength to get back up and keep moving forward. So trust the call on your life. Don't run from it. Don't be scared of it. It's hard not to be, but let God grab your hand and lead you to somewhere you didn't think you could be. Lead you to a situation you didn't think you could handle. Let God surprise you, because God sees you from a different angle. God doesn't see you how you see yourself. God sees all the possibilities in your life. God sees all the possibilities that you have. We always don't do a good job of looking at ourselves and being nice to ourselves. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we're so ready to talk bad about ourselves and what we feel is missing or what we feel we don't have. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and just started talking good about yourself? Started saying, God, you created this. And because you created it, I'm worthy. I'm worthy of all the love. I'm worthy of all that you have for me. I'm worthy and believe in myself because you believe in me. Because just listen to that for a moment. If God believes and trusts in you for whatever task God has for you, why are you doubting yourself moving forward? Things may seem hard. Things may seem tough. But you got to believe in yourself simply because God believes in you. I'll say that again. You have to believe in yourself simply because God believes in you. And if God believes in you, what more do you need? If God believes in you, why are you still doubting yourself? Why are you still listening to the words of others saying you can't or you won't? When God said, yeah, you're built for this, actually. Believe in yourself, family. And when God calls, trust in that call. Don't doubt that call. And know that God is bringing you and calling you to something greater. Amen? Amen.